There is something, we're in Mark's gospel now, the first gospel, the shortest gospel, the gospel presenting Jesus as a suffering servant. The gospel, it says 52 times, immediately, immediately, immediately. It's as though Mark is in a rush to get all this down. Later on, Luke and Matthew will borrow heavily from Mark and his gospel to write theirs. They're decades apart. But there's a sense of almost a breathlessness whenever you read Mark. And the scripture scholars will tell you that whenever you read it, of course, the scriptures are supposed to be read aloud, even in private, even if it's just a whisper. There's a whole sense of it being in the Word of God, inspired. You are inspired because of baptism. And so the Spirit in the Word and the Spirit in you, it is supposed to be read aloud with the whole idea that you are releasing once more the breath of the Holy Spirit out into the world. And where it lands, well, the second reading, when St. Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight. Somewhere, according to the teachings of the church, because we're talking about the kingdom of God, that word that you let out will land on someone who needs some kind of inspired word, thought, sparking action, reconciliation, faith, hope, love. It's interesting whenever we read the scriptures that there's this constant thing of bringing about the kingdom of God. That means different things to different people, but for Catholics, we have to be precise. The kingdom of God is not the Catholic Church. The kingdom of God is the instrument for bringing in the Catholic Church. That universality, soteriology, it's called if you ever study the scriptures. Soteriology means that Christ came to save people in the world. Not just this select few or that particular group, but he came and in founding the church at Pentecost, built on the kingdom of God that was talked about in the Old Testament and foreshadowing what would be revealed in the New Testament, would form this church, Christ is the head and we are the members, so that we would go out by words and our actions, bring about the kingdom of God, which means that whenever the incarnation happened, both by the beating of the heart of the Blessed Mother and also the beating of the heart when that began in the Blessed Mother's womb of Jesus, those beating hearts, the kingdom of God was breaking in, because the kingdom of God talks about touching the heart, touching the mind, consequently touching what Francis of Assisi would call the instruments of peace. It is a heart that is called to be faithful, a heart that's called to be hoping in the midst of a lot of despair that we see or cynicism in the world, to be loving whenever the secular society would talk about revenge and the justification of getting one's revenge because someone hurt me or wounded me or betrayed me. It's human nature to put up those kind of defenses. But there's no life there. There's no life of grace. There's no life of the kingdom there. It stunts growth. It stunts the heart. It makes the mind dark. It hurts the health of the body, mind, and soul. And so the kingdom of God that is bringing in begins with us, particularly when we are baptized, where certain seeds are planted in the instrument of peace, particularly in the soul, the spirit of the individual. Those seeds are nurtured by the family, the domestic church, by how you teach, how you act, how you mentor. You know, children are much more intuitive and sensate before they ever come into the physicality of things. They watch and learn by example, tone of voice, a look in the eyes, or not looking at someone, which can send a message of not being worthwhile or disrespected. How we listen to other people as opposed to be dismissive. And a lot of times we're very distracted by many things. It's understandable, but the message can be sent intuitively that there is a lack of the presence of the person with whom I am having some relationship with. And I speak here in particular about children, teenagers, young people in family systems. And it's in the family system that I learn relationships and coping skills, forgiveness, patience, so that as I grow up, and please God, I nurture the seeds which are called the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, there is something about an individual then that is sent out into the world that one wonders what kind of family they came from because of the integrity of an individual, their truth-telling, their kindness, their respect. All of those kinds of things reflect to the outside world what has gone on the inside world, both inside of the family and inside of the heart of the people. You see, Charles de Foucauld, saint, a constituent of the Little Flower, and I've said this before, said, if Catholicism is anything, it's a religion of the heart. Christ is the head and we are the members. The heart of the church is the Holy Eucharist. The heart of the church is the sacramental system. This is the grace that nurtures ourselves and our relationships with others as the body. And then we are sent out to do what Christ did, to build up the body of Christ, the church, and to influence the world with peace, not war, with coming to some kind of coping skills for forgiveness and, again, respect, as opposed to being on an attack mode because I've been attacked. There's this whole kind of ongoing relationship learning about how one thrives and not just survives. And again, that's supposed to be happening in what the church calls the domestic church. Mustard seeds, something that begins very small and it grows and grows and grows. The image is very rich in the scriptures today because that mustard seed gives birth to that tree that is the largest in what we would call the Holy Land, a huge thing with spreading out branches that animals and people would take comfort in the shade and birds would land on it. That's an image of the church. The bark of Peter, another name for the church, that we are supposed to be providing this living tree that was started with the mustard seed of the preaching of the word and the nurturing of it in the sacramental system. And it grows and it grows and it grows, and people take refuge in the body of Christ, the church, to bring in the kingdom of God, to bring in that heartfeltness, that sense of what Francis of Assisi would call being an instrument of peace. I gave an example of mustard seed that would lead into a tree. Once, when I was an adorable child, I was having a bad time, maybe 8, 9 years old. Those are supposed to be tough times for a child, a boy in particular. Going into the teenage years is supposed to be the rough time for teenage girls. Oh, I think that's a generic statement. You have to be careful about such things. After all, it was Mark Twain that said he couldn't get over how dumb his father was when Mark Twain was 18. And then when Mark Twain turned 21, he couldn't get over how much his father had learned in 3 years. But I remember complaining that I was tired of celebrating my birthday with my twin sister. Why couldn't I have my own birthday like everybody else? Actually, it was a very selfish thing. It was common in those days that instead of getting $5, we got $2.50. We had to share in it. And I used to complain to my parents, and my dad was a highway inspector for the Pennsylvania Department of Highways, and they used to have this, take your son to work with you. And so I went with him in one of those times. And it was close to my birthday, and we went into this shed, they called it, which was really something of a small warehouse, where people met and trucks were kept and machines and everything. And I had been complaining again to my father when I stop and think how I pestered that man. But I no sooner walked in the door and all these men sang happy birthday to me. And one brought out this great big layer cake with all these candles on it. And they gave me some toys to play with. And after we were having cake, I started to cry. And my father said to me, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I miss my sister. I'm used to celebrating with my sister." When we went home, my father said to my mom, "I can't please my kids, this kid, to save my soul." I always remember that, though, that mustard seed of his trying to meet and to please and to help. And well, that's parenting, isn't it? You sacrifice a lot because you love. You put up with a lot, the pestering, the complaining, whatever. But you mentor and you cope and you teach those certain skills, and life goes on and you hope for the best, and the people that they choose to be their friends, well, we surround ourselves with people who think like us, that they be people of some mettle, some integrity, some kindness, some respect. But thinking of that mustard seed also, I can remember a time when I had a bad time with a priest in our parish. He was physically abusive. And I was in about the 6th, 7th grade, and he hit me with the back of his hand during the Latin Mass. And I went sailing backwards and hit the marble wainscoting, and it knocked me out. And my friend, who was helping to serve, went over to help me, and he screamed to leave him alone. This was a 10 o'clock high Mass. Place was packed. I eventually came to and crawled back to my place. And when I got home, the phone was ringing, and my mother said to me, "That phone has been ringing for almost 45 minutes now. What happened at Mass?" "Nothing," I said. "You didn't say anything. You didn't want to upset Father." Boy, has that time changed. And so my dad sailed out of the house to confront Father, which he did. And my mother opened up the kitchen window and said, "Dominic, he's a priest." And he said, "Then why doesn't he act like one?" They had words. And he came home, and I was wiped my hands of serving Mass. I didn't even know if I was going to go back to Mass. That's how hurt and angry I was and embarrassed. My dad came in and said, "Your mother tells me you're not going to serve anymore." I said, "No, I'm not." "Well, I'll tell you, there's going to be a lot of situations in life where mean things and unhappy things happen to you. You can't let those things stop you from what you like doing. Don't you like serving Mass?" I said, "Yes." "Why?" he said. "Oh, I like being near the tabernacle. I like serving Mass and being so close. And I just love it. It's just a feeling that I have." "And you would have someone take that away from you? I want you to go back. It's a learning experience for you. You can't stop just because someone gets in your way." And so I did, and life went on. And the mustard seed continued to grow when I was a priest teaching, and a fella from downtown Philadelphia came to see me. He was in a parish where I helped on weekends. He was the manager of the Franklin Plaza Hotel, something of a big deal in the hotel chain, I imagine it still is, making multiple zeros. And he came and he said he wanted to be a priest, but he had to give up a lot. But he felt this call, this call, this call. He just wasn't happy. We talked. He eventually left all that, went to Dunwoody Seminary in New York City, or thereabouts. And he okayed the first year. He came home at Christmas at the second year, and I got a call. "I need to see you right away." He came over. "I'm not going back to the seminary." I said, "Why?" "Too much politics. People play mind games there. There's a lot of cliques. If a professor doesn't like you, he puts you a letter down. And I'm just very disenchanted. And I'm not going back, and I'm getting my old job back." And I said to him, drawing on the memory of the mustard seed, "Why did you want to be a priest?" "Well, so I could celebrate Mass." "Why else?" "Oh, I could hear confessions." "Why else?" "And besides the sacramental system, I believe I'll come to know Jesus more and better. I'm so hungry for that." And he had great big tears in his eyes. And I said, "I'm going to tell you something. A year or two after you were ordained, you won't even remember those people's names. You will be so busy enjoying and working your finger to the bone in ministry with people's needs today in the church, that that won't matter. You would have somebody or a group take away from you something that you really want to do, just because of your feelings right now and your disappointment and your anger, walk through it. You'll be fine. Go back and continue on. It's going to be lots of challenge in your priesthood, lots of obstacles, lots of people that are political or nasty or cliquish or whatever goes on. It's the world. But if you really feel called to do this, God will give you the grace to do it. He pondered that. He went back. He was eventually ordained. I preached at his first Mass. And then his third year, he died quite suddenly of brain cancer. And I had his funeral Mass at his home in New York State. And when I was finished preaching, there were so many people there that loved him. Two young men came up who were in their first year of being in the seminary. And they introduced themselves and thanked me and talked a little bit about him. And he said, you know, it was because of him that we're in the seminary. He taught us an awful lot. Especially, he was always telling us to persist no matter what. Those two men eventually went on to be ordained and are still priests today, thanks be to God. But you see what happens with some kind of a mustard seed. It's either your own experience, whether you're young or getting on in life, or some experience that gives you something of wisdom, understanding, some kind of counsel that occurs to you, which means for clarity and understanding. We put the pieces together in the puzzles of life, and we begin to see, please God, where he has worked, especially in the difficulties and challenges that we can call carrying our crosses and our burdens. God will give the grace. God always gives the grace. It's up to us to align our will, to walk through the muck and the dirt and whatever else is going on that is trying to dissuade us from something that we want to do or a kind of person we want to be or the accomplishments that we hope will come to pass. God gives the grace. That in itself is the kingdom of God breaking inside of us. Otherwise, the kingdom of the evil one will come and want to snatch away our verve, our vigor, our hope, the capacity to forgive or to rise above and to transcend, to persevere and to persist. He is the discourager, and he is rampant always, but especially in this day and age when so many people seem to abandon the faith, not feed the kingdom of a God that is inside us, that is always calling us to be generative, to be life-giving, to develop the gifts and fruits and the seeds of the kingdom inside of us, so that as individuals and in a community, we go and prosper as this tree of bringing in the kingdom of God as an instrument called the body of Christ, the church. Continue to pray for the faithfulness to the gospel and to the deposit of faith of what Jesus teaches us. It is full of wisdom, which is the mind of the Father. It's full of loving kindness, which is the heart of the Son. It is full of a stamina inside of us to push through, which is called the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may he bless you through the merits of Jesus Christ, who did the Father's will. We remember on Father's Day that he continues to give us the grace to push through whatever is holding us back and to grab a hold of that cross, which is in its triumph and pours out his mercy on the world. We bring in the kingdom with the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.